welcome to the War Room. I'm your host, Harrison Smith, coming to you live this Wednesday afternoon, the 12th of November, 2025. We got a lot of stuff to talk about. Politics, the Epstein release. We are going to talk about Israel a little bit today as well. Everyone's favorite topic. And, of course, we'll get into Antifa and what happened at UC Berkeley over the weekend. Since I had so many guests yesterday, I haven't really gotten to delve into that. But there's also new information coming about. So lots of stuff to cover. And we'll be joined in studio by Tiffany Cianci in the third hour. And we'll be talking about a lot of topics that we're going to cover today, including H-1B visas, the SNAP program, the 50-year mortgages, and why they're all just terrible. Should be ended as soon as humanly possible. But let's begin today, as we do every day, with our Daily Dispatch. All right, here it is, folks, your Daily Dispatch for Wednesday, the 12th of November, 2025. U.S. Mint to strike last penny as Trump's phase-out rattles retailers. The Treasury Department is considering issuing guidance to help businesses navigate the transition, including how to round cash transactions. Up or down to the nearest five? Yes. Sad to say, we might actually need guidance on this. People might not actually know how this works. President Trump's decision earlier this year to halt production of the U.S. penny is rippling through the economy faster than expected, triggering widespread shortages of the one-cent coin and headaches for retailers and banks. The administration has moved quickly to wind down penny production as a cost-cutting measure following Trump's February call to rip the waste out of our great nation's budget, even if it's a penny at a time. And, well, that seems to be about how quickly it's going. Meanwhile, Venezuela announces massive mobilization of military forces as America's largest warship sails into region. Venezuela says it's launching a massive mobilization campaign of military personnel, weapons, and equipment in response to the buildup of U.S. warships and troops in the Caribbean Sea. Land, air, naval, and reserve forces will carry out exercises through Wednesday, according to Defense Minister Vladimir Pedrino Lopez, who described the deployment as a response to the imperialistic threat posed by the U.S. military buildup. And this comes as, of course, the USS Gerald Ford moves into Caribbean waters, bringing us closer to direct confrontation with Venezuela. Meanwhile, probably the biggest story we have today, House Democrats release new Epstein emails referencing Trump. And they really are just going to the, you know, end of sanity with this. I'll show you some of the, you know, things the Democrats are saying that are just outrageous. They're really making the most out of this they possibly can. And we'll get into the whole timeline of Epstein here, because this remains one of the most baffling political scandals of all time. Specifically how this went from being something that Democrats refused to even acknowledge existed, was entirely a Republican topic, to suddenly being a weapon in the hands of the Democrats. It's wild how this has come about, and we'll get back into that. Meanwhile, over 600 illegal immigrants have been awarded $112 million after a New York jury found the county liable for unlawful ICE detentions. So, yes, folks, a federal judge has ordered Long Island's Suffolk County, New York, to pay $112 million in damages after hundreds of illegal immigrants were detained by local authorities on behalf of ICE. Yes, folks, people who were slated for deportation were temporarily housed in a prison, and now we're paying them $112 million for breaking into our country. So, yeah. Finally, we have this. DOJ launches investigation into UC Berkeley over Antifa mob violence. DOJ announced it's investigating the University of California, Berkeley, a day after the mob violence from Antifa protesters occurred outside of a Turning Point USA event. In a post on X, Assistant Attorney General for the Civil Rights Division, Harmeet Dhillon, shared a letter that was addressed to UC Berkeley Police Chief Yoganda Pittman. In the letter, Pittman was asked to preserve all records in her possession that are relevant to the agency's preparation, execution, and response to the turning point event held at campus on Monday, along with a related protest. And once again, we're in the situation where I'm glad they're mentioning it. I'm glad they're doing something about it. Writing a letter to the head cop that allowed it to happen, not actually the right thing to do. What they should be doing is arresting everybody involved. That's your Daily Dispatch, brought to you, of course, by TheAlexJonesStore.com. Big sale on at TheAlexJonesStore.com. Buy one, get one free on methyl and blue, plus a free hat.
I'm cutting this critical announcement on the morning of Tuesday, November 11th, 2025, Veterans Day. You have 48 hours flash sale to get one bottle of ultramethylene blue capsules or liquid tincture and get the second one free and get a free custom Patriot ball cap at the alexjonesstore.com. We've never done a sale this big. It's a flash sale. So take action now at the alexjonesstore.com and be the reason we're always going to be on the air. The globalists are close to shutting down InfoWars, the building and the website, but not we the people, the InfoWar. We have the Alex Jones Network that Bigley owns. They're the owner of the alexjonesstore.com, and that's why it's so critical you go there and support the broadcast and get great products at the same time. Victory is all about being aware, standing up and taking action. And you can't take action in a better way fighting for you and your family's future and our collective liberties than supporting the operation at thealexjonesstore.com. And thank you for keeping me and my crew in the fight.
You're watching The War Room with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now on X.com. Annihilate.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is The War Room. I'm your host, Harrison Smith. Infowars.com, band.video. We got a big sale on at thealexjonesstore.com. Methylene blue is buy one, get one free. Plus, you get a free hat with any order at thealexjonesstore.com. Thealexjonesstore.com/Harrison if you want to let them know who sent you. And I say that now because you only have until midnight tonight to take advantage of that sale. So I wanted to get that. I want you to know that right off the bat before we even get into all of the news for today. It's been a interesting 24 hours. Let's just say that. Donald Trump has made some of the most ridiculous, unforced errors of his entire political career. And it really does feel like the wheels are coming off this thing. Again, I say that with absolutely no joy. I say that in the most somber and grief-filled way I can because I understand that this is America's last best hope of retaining any semblance of our identity, of our nationhood. It just, we're very much on the precipice here. And I posted this yesterday as a little prediction on my ex. I said, we are exactly 1 year away from impeachment. At the rate things are going, frankly, who cares? Democrats will sweep the midterms, running the most radical candidates in American history, while Republicans will spend a year calling their base anti-Semitic. They'll impeach Trump and charge everyone in his administration with felonies, open the border to another 40 million dependents while giving backdoor citizenship to everyone already here. They'll end the filibuster, pack the court, and start systematically whittling away our rights to speech and self-defense. This is it. America's being destroyed. Also, Israel can build luxury apartments over the mass graves of slaughtered innocents. I think that last sentence is particularly important because remember, that's what this is about. That's what this is about. It's often phrased as though this is an existential fight for, you know, Israel's existence and the, you know, support given to them is necessary or else, you know, they're all going to die. That's not entirely true. All we've wanted the entire time was Israel to just stop killing people, just stop murdering people in Gaza, just stop bombing hospitals and elementary schools, and we wouldn't have a problem with the nation state of Israel. And that, they couldn't handle it. They couldn't handle it. So now, as the Republican Party is devoured alive by the Israeli lobbyists, America is being sacrificed so that Israel can build luxury apartments and condos on the banks of the Mediterranean. So, well done. Well done. It's not a question of, you know, Israel's existence. This is necessary. It's just like, if they just stopped committing genocide, everything would be cool. But they don't want to, so they'll kill anybody that gets in their way. So that's where we're at this point. And it really is absurd. And not a lot of people responding to this, calling me a panican. Why are you trying to, you know, blackpill everybody? Of course, my response is that last time I made a prediction like this, it was in the summer of 2020, and I predicted that the COVID lockdown would be extended past Election Day, the Democrats would use mail-in ballots to cheat, and then they would use the backlash to the stolen election to arrest Trump supporters, something I was dead on about. I thought they'd go a little bit further, but it was all imminently predictable. It's all kind of obvious, actually. Actually, the timeline right there for anybody to see. That's not inevitable. It's not a foregone conclusion. We do have free will. One of the great things about being human beings with an intellect, with an intelligence and an ability to project into the future potential outcomes, we can alter our behavior to try to get to the outcome that we desire. It's called free will. It's part of being a human being. It's really fantastic. We should try it sometime. We should try to do this. It seems like everything that's happening right now is like we're strapped in to a roller coaster. We can't break away. Like we're on these tracks and we're just headed towards just like an inferno, just a furnace, an open furnace. And we're like strapped in and I'm just trying to break us out. I'm trying to flip the lever to go on a different track to not head towards the inevitable destruction that we see before us. And it seems like there are so many instances where this is the case. AI is one of them, where, for as far as I can tell, all of the history of sci-fi as a genre, a core component, a core plot has been the obvious sort of, you know, pattern of AI being invented, AI trying to kill all humans, humans having to destroy AI, eventually coming to some sort of Butlerian jihad, you know, Dune status where you outlaw thinking machines because you see how dangerous it is. It's like, how are there 10,000 books and short stories and movies about this scenario? Here we find ourselves in it and we're just doing it. It's like we're following the script. It's like, guys, the reason we wrote the script was that so we could skip that part in the middle. The part in the middle where AI takes over and tries to kill all of us and we have to fight our way out and it's like Terminator or The Matrix. We're like blotting out the sun to deprive them of energy. Like we can skip all of that by recognizing the future threat and then avoiding it. But we're not doing that. We're just going headlong and just turning everything over to AI without even thinking about it. Great. That's great. It's great. Similarly, you know, the various global conflicts. And these aren't even things that I'm telling you, you know, down the line. I'm saying we're so stuck in this, on these tracks that we were telling you this was the outcome long before the war started. We were having interviews and making reports and doing whole shows about how Russia was going to go to war with Ukraine, laying out how we got to that point, laying out the options we had to, you know, stop the process before it started. You know, covering Anthony Blinken going over to Ukraine and going, this is it. This is the last chance. Russia is going to invade if he doesn't make some concessions or doesn't come to an agreement with him. He goes there and spits in Putin's face. And here we are 3 years later with the war only accelerating and increasing, the attacks only getting bigger and more damaging, the threat of nuclear war only that much closer. And there's just something so frustrating. We are the Cassandras. We are the Cassandras of the modern political landscape where we just sit there and go, guys, here's what's going to happen. Here's the timeline. January 2020 going, all right, you guys don't know what COVID you're about to learn. You're about to learn about this virus. It's coming from China. It was made in a lab. They're going to lock down the economy. Then they're going to not free us up until we get the vaccine. The vaccine's going to be poison. They're going to tie it to digital ID to create a one-world government control grid. We were saying that in January of 2020. Most people didn't hear about COVID until February at the earliest. And then we had to sit by and watch as it followed the playbook, as exactly what we predicted unrolled in exactly the way we predicted. Now, luckily, because there were enough people listening to us, because there are enough people aware and awake and able to follow the simple logic that was should be obvious to literally anybody. Like, it's like, okay, it's frustrating to be able to know what's coming and not being able to stop it. That is frustrating. It's almost more frustrating that this isn't obvious to everybody. Everything that we say. I mean, I don't want to downplay the importance that I serve as a news reporter, but like, I am not doing anything spectacular. I'm literally just looking at like what people are saying and going, yeah, they're probably going to do that. So what's going to be the outcome? I'm not exactly predicting that they're going to end the filibuster. I'm watching videos of James Carville saying, we're going to destroy the filibuster. Like, they're going to do it, you guys. I believe them. I trust them to do whatever evil thing is necessary. And it's like, not, it's really not that hard. I think maybe the thing is, my secret trick for predicting things, know that if you think you know more than him, you don't. It's not even close. Hate to break it to MAGA panicans, but Trump is going to do some things we don't understand when he does them because he's playing a much larger game and has exponentially more insight than your average Joe and Jane citizen pundit. It's not even close. Hey, dumbass, I can point out specific examples that disprove that exact thing. It's the one I keep referencing. Why did he let James Comey's family friend slow walk his prosecution until 5 days before the statute of limitations was up? Is that a big trick? Was that part of a plan? Oh, we didn't want James Comey indicted until September. Wow, so sophisticated. And then in a panic, he put in his own personal lawyer to get it done in 5 days. And by the grace of God, she pulled it out. That was that a, was that a plan? Was that a scheme? What's the tactical maneuvering there? Now, I would believe you if, in that particular instance, that was a trap. If they went, hey, we're going to give this indictment, this command to this guy. We know that he's Comey's friend, and we're going to see what he does with it. And this is a trap, and we're going to be monitoring his communications. We're going to give it to him, and when he refuses to indict Comey, then he's going to be indicted for obstruction of justice. No, that guy still works at the DOJ. That guy that took the order to indict James Comey, pretended that he was trying and just having trouble doing it for 9 months until an amateur got it done in 5 days, the guy's still working at the DOJ. He wasn't even fired. Are we trusting the plan? Folks, if you think that this is all sophisticated white hat operations behind the scene, like you are delusional. I'm sorry to tell you, you are delusional. And it's like, again, basic logic. Basic logic applied to some of these things show that there's no sophisticated strategy behind it. How could there be? You tell me what the sophisticated 4D chess interpretation of Trump coming out and saying we want H-1B visas because America doesn't have any talent. What's the, it's like, they don't get it. They don't get how sophisticated it is that Trump is crashing his approval rating to the lowest it's ever been. All part of a plan. I mean, it's, you're delusional. I don't know what else to tell you. Now, on the other hand, I don't want to be blackpilled, even though everything is rather blackpilling these days. I don't want to be blackpilled because that's a self-fulfilling prophecy. The thing is, I can't even believe where we are at this point. Some things are just the same as they've ever been in a frustrating way. In other words, why are we even still talking about QAnon? My God. Like, I cannot believe that we still, the year of our Lord, 2025, have people saying trust the plan. Like, that is, that's wild to me. It's kind of hilarious, actually. That's crazy. But then in other instances, like Epstein, it's so inverted from what it was 10 years ago. It's like, I don't even know what to make of this. But all of them share the characteristics of being completely unmoored from reality and totally bonkers insane. And we'll get into Epstein here. I just want to emphasize that there's just got to be a major change. I don't know what's going to invoke that. I don't know what needs to catalyze this change. But Trump is completely going off the rails. His administration is just completely abandoned everything that they were running on. Even the stuff that they're saying they're doing is all just half-assed, half measures, totally inadequate to the problem that they're solving, trying to solve. Antifa would be a great example. I've sent letters to the university to preserve their records. Okay. Somebody pointed out today, MAGA was never technically declared a domestic terrorist organization. But that didn't stop the FBI from kicking down the doors of MAGA influencers, hauling them away, and charging them under RICO statutes for crimes that took place in a different city while they were in prison and completely incapable of even communicating with the people on the Capitol on January 6th. So somehow, without being designated a terrorist organization, the civil rights and free speech of MAGA Republicans was not just eviscerated, they were thrown into prison for decades for crimes they didn't commit. Now they've declared Antifa a domestic terrorist organization, and they're writing strongly worded letters to universities after a mob attacks a crowd at a TPUSA event that was memorializing Charlie Kirk, who was, what was it, 2 months ago, murdered in cold blood in front of the world. So, no, we're not taking any of this stuff seriously enough. We're not doing anything that we should be doing. And the important thing to understand is that it's a choice, is that all these things are choices. I almost feel weird saying this because this is what I used to always say about the Democrats. This is what I used to always say about the Biden administration. Was pointing out, and we're absolutely right, yet another point in which we are proven correct, incontrovertibly, indebatably correct, in that things like the border. What were we saying the entire time the border was open? It's in a crisis. This isn't something they can't handle. This isn't something that's just occurring that they're having to deal with. Ah, gee, you know, the volcano's exploding. I guess we got to scramble to get things out of the way of the lava. Like, it's not a natural disaster. This is a man-made disaster. It was a choice. It's a policy decision and the desired outcome from that decision, which is why it continues perpetually. Now I'm saying the same thing about the Trump administration, that the choices they're making are what have led us to this point. The deliberate decisions of the Trump administration as to where to spend money, where to focus their energy, where to what to prioritize, who to serve, it's entirely their fault. I'm sorry to say. I really am. They can fix it, but they ain't going to fix it if we're just glazing them the entire time. So I'm going to tell them what they're doing wrong and speak down to them like they're children, because I can't understand how I'm the only one that can figure this crap out. It all seems so utterly obvious to me. But okay, we'll try to walk you through this. Now, there's been a couple videos that have come out recently that, again, just sort of illustrate what we were talking about yesterday with Mark Mitchell of Rasmussen. I wish we could use a Rasputin around now, right about now. But we're talking about just the complete failure of the Trump administration to respond adequately to the demands, the desires, the you know, necessities requested by Gen Z or anybody of any age that can recognize the struggle that we're in right now. And by the way, my videos are all going all wonky here. But there's a couple of these. Let's go to clip three first, because this is another one where it's like, okay, what do they not get? What does the Trump administration not understand about their own promises during the campaign trail? Here's Kristi Noem talking about how much faster they're going to make it for immigrants to come into the country. This is just, I'm having flashbacks to Joe Biden. Let's watch clip number three.
What is the administration's position on these visas?
Now, we're going to keep using our visa programs. We're just going to make sure that they have integrity, that we're actually doing the vetting of the individuals who come into this country, that they want to be here for the right reasons, that they're not supporters of terrorists and organizations that hate America. And that's what I think is so remarkable, is under the Trump administration, we've sped up our process and added integrity to the visa programs, to green cards, to all of that. But also, more people are becoming naturalized under this administration than ever before. More people are becoming citizens because we're not just streamlining and building some processes back into our immigration policies. We're also making sure that these individuals that are coming into our country and get that privilege, that they actually are here for the right reasons. The Biden administration let thousands of terrorists into this country. They opened the southern border. They abused our asylum programs, abused our protective programs and visa programs, and we fixed all of it. It's remarkable what President Trump has done, and it's because he's a great leader. He's a visionary, and this man is going to go down as a legend in history as our greatest president ever.
Madam.
Wow, very bold. Bold statements there. So let me translate a little bit. Again, this is almost verbatim what the Biden administration would say when they were asked about the immigration crisis. During Biden's administration, when they were asked, what about the crisis at the border? They would say, we're working really hard to deal with the influx of immigrants. We are speeding up the process to make sure we can get them in here as safely and quickly as possible. That is literally the opposite of what we want. That's the opposite of what we need. So here is Kristi Noem taking a page directly out of the Biden handbook. And when they hear that people aren't happy with the H-1B visa program, they think, don't worry, we're speeding it up. We're going to have more naturalized and new citizens in this country than ever before. And hate speech isn't free speech, right? And we're going to get into the H-1B visa system. I've done a lot of investigation into this. I've done a lot of digging into the internet to find some of the most egregious stories, but they're all fairly similar. If you think the asylum program is abused, you ain't seen nothing compared to the H-1B visa system. The entire thing is a scam, is an absolute scam. And the whole thing compounds on itself, where the more people you bring over from other countries, they are not shy about favoring their own people, about showing discrimination against Americans in favor of their co-nationalist, co-ethnics. So the more you bring in, the more they bring in. And then on top of that, you're taking jobs from graduates while simultaneously giving positions in universities to 600,000 Chinese students. And as much as I could go on and on about this, talking strictly about how damaging it is to the American people, how screwed up and practically built for corruption and exploitation these systems are, and strictly just talk about India, China, and America, I could do it the whole time. But there's another layer of this. This may shock you, but it's Israel. But yeah, Israel's involved in this too. What do you think Kristi Noem means when she says we're vetting all of these people to make sure that they aren't in favor of, you know, people who hate America. Haven't said things about our allies, however she put it. They aren't making sure that everybody who comes over is a respecter of Thomas Jefferson and small government. They're not, scanning everybody to make sure they have expressed love of white people and Christianity in the past. No, our immigration system is being throttled by or being controlled by the nation state of Israel. Of course, but of course. And why do you think we have 600,000 Chinese students coming over? Could have anything to do with the deals that we made so that China would sell TikTok to Israelis?
I'm cutting this important announcement on Veterans Day 2025, November 11th. That means you've got 48 hours to take advantage of this unprecedented sale of ultramethylene blue at thealexjonesstore.com, both the capsules and the liquid tincture. Now listen to me. You can buy one bottle of either and get another free. That's massive right now. And on top of it, every order, not just methylene blue, gets a free custom high-quality ball cap of your selection and choosing at thealexjonesstore.com. So take action. This is only for 2 days. I was about to end the methylene blue ad today because we have the free baseball cap. We've done that before, and it's a huge success. People love it, and that's a big freebie. But it was Veterans Day, and I thought, why am I just cutting an ad about a ball cap? Why don't we make it about health and energizing our lives, not just have a nice hat and spread the word and meet like-minded people. That's fun as well and very informative. So this is a true 360 win. I want to thank all of America's veterans of wars and conflicts, and I want to thank all the viewers and listeners for their support and their word of mouth in the info war, because we are all veterans of the fight against the globalist, their COVID attack, the transgenderism, the open borders, the leftist out-of-control tyrants. And we're winning major battles, but we have not won the war yet. We have turned the tide thanks to all of you. So I want to thank you on this Veterans Day for the next 48 hours for your support. And I want to ask those of you that have been on the fence and ever tried Methylene Blue, what do you got to lose? You know InfoWars is doing a great job and changing the world. You know we're under globalist attack, so you're supporting the broadcast. You can't lose there, but when you get this incredible product, it will change your life. It does incredible things. It's so good for you. And the ball caps are awesome as well. So this is a first-time sale like it. Buy one, get one free Methylene Blue and a free ball cap. 48 hours until this Thursday at midnight Central Time at thealexjonesstore.com. And listen, barring a miracle, just read the news. Corporate media is actually accurate about that. They got the state receiver in here. We've exhausted basically all of our fight. We never gave up. They can close us down, you know, anytime in the next month or so, but it looks like around January 1st is what the receiver from the state court is saying. But that's okay. A website, a studio. The info war belongs to all of us that have stood up and fought the globalists. We're going to continue on. And the AlexJonesStore.com is not owned by me. It's owned by our sponsor, Big League. That hadn't just kept InfoWars afloat. Thanks to your support, you kept us afloat through it. But has helped build the Alex Jones Network that they own. We got the backup studio. Bigger studios are being built, just as good as these, maybe even better, thanks to all your support. This is the operation you built. The InfoWar has just gotten started. It's not a website. It's not a building. It is the people who understand there's a war on for their mind, taking their country and their planet back from the transhumanist, satanic New World Order death cult. So take action now and let the tyrants and censors know you will never silence not just the people of the United States, but the people of this planet that are God-fearing and who have awoken to the tyrants and who are taking action. From the bottom of my heart on this Veterans Day, I salute all you and ask you now to count the cost and redouble your efforts in the fight by supporting the tip of the spear, the InfoWar, at thealexjonesstore.com.
Whatever the future may hold, InfoWars will always live forever. The fight will continue. Be sure to follow us on X at RealAlexJones and at AJNLive. And now you can download the number one news app in the world. Go to AlexJonesApp.com and let the Democrat Deep State Party know that we will never be silenced.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
All right, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is the War Room. I'm your host, Harrison Smith. I don't know who's advising Trump. I'm not sure. Actually, I do know. Actually, I'm going to tell you who it is. I shouldn't even say that. But the point I'm trying to make is Trump's messing up. He's messing up big time. He's messing up in ways that are not going to be easily rectified anytime soon. He's betraying people. And that's really what this is. And I want to emphasize that. This is betrayal. And that's how it feels. Now, you can tell somebody who's been betrayed, you haven't been betrayed. They know they've been betrayed. You can't tell somebody that they're not sad, right? It's like, no, it's how they feel. It's an accurate way to feel, and it's an accurate interpretation of what has occurred here. Let's go to clip number one first. Trump says that H-1B visa immigrants, they're just more skilled than Americans. We're just stupid Americans. We can't figure out how to be trained to do something, not like the glorious Indian man. Let's watch.
There's never going to be a country like what we have right now.
And does that mean
the Republicans have to talk about it, Laura?
And does that mean the H-1B visa thing will not be a big priority for your administration? Because if you want to raise wages for American workers, you can't flood the country with tens of thousands or hundreds of thousands
of foreign
workers.
I agree, but you also do have to bring in talent.
We have plenty of talented people here. No, you don't have certain talents,
and people have to learn. You can't take people off an unemployment line and say, I'm going to put you into a factory where we're going to make missiles, or I'm going to put
you. How did we ever do it before?
Well, let me just. I'll give you an example. In Georgia, they raided because they wanted illegal immigrants out. They had people from South Korea that made batteries all their lives. You know, making batteries are very complicated. It's not an easy thing and very dangerous. A lot of explosions, a lot of problems. They had like 500 or 600 people, early stages, to make batteries and to teach people how to do it. Well, they wanted them to get out of the country. You're going to need that, Laura. I mean, I know you and I disagree on this. You can't just say country's coming in, going to invest $10 billion to build a plant and going to take people off an unemployment line who haven't worked in 5 years, and they're going to start making missiles. It doesn't work that way.
It's just such a crazy thing to say. Obviously, that clip of him saying you don't have the talent is going to dog him for the rest of his political career. This is extremely offensive, obviously wrong, and a fundamental betrayal of everything that he's supposed to stand for. And he's wrong about what happened in the Hyundai plant anyway. These people are not especially skilled. H-1B visa holders are not especially skilled. You know what you have to be an H-1B visa holder? A bachelor degree. You have to have a bachelor degree. You have to go to like 2 years of college. These are not super geniuses that we're bringing over here. And the people that we are bringing over cheat to qualify anyway. So even though it's not a super high, you know, level of academic achievement, they didn't even earn that. And they're being welcomed over here by the millions. Now, if H-1B visas were about just getting the best people from anywhere, then why are like 70%+ of them from India? Because it's a scam. It's a scam to bring Indians into this country. I know we've done the math before. I don't know if people truly comprehend, truly understand that you could literally one-to-one replace every single person in America with an Indian. Every single person. Just swap them Freaky Friday style with an Indian, and you would still have 1.1 billion Indians in India waiting to get over here. So what's the cap? What's the maximum? And why are all the H-1B visas coming from India? Again, if it was like, hey, these H-1B visas, we're getting German engineers and Polish, you know, railway workers and whatever else, fine. No, we're getting infinite Indians. We're getting infinite, barely educated Indian people. That's what it is. And it's an entire ridiculous scam. What is the point of celebrating a $10 billion investment of a foreign company building a factory here if all the parts they use to make the factory come from overseas, and the company itself is an overseas company, and then everybody they employ, they bring over? We haven't even benefited. Like, we'll get, what, the tax money from that, I guess? So the tax money from that will be collected by the government to be handed out to other people around the world that aren't us. Are the tax dollars from the foreign, you know, investment into themselves on our soil, they'll pay a percentage of that to the government so it can be, get paid back to everybody else around the world that doesn't work and doesn't benefit us. And just so you know, let's just lay the groundwork, all right? Because you hear this a lot, H-1B visa, what even is it? All right? The H-1B visa is a non-immigrant visa in the United States. It allows U.S. employers to temporarily employ foreign workers in specialty occupations, jobs that require at least a bachelor's degree or its equivalent in a specific field, e.g. engineering, IT, medicine, mathematics, science, architecture, accounting, etc. It is the most common work visa for highly skilled professionals, especially in tech, Google, Microsoft, Amazon, Meta, etc. Now, it only lasts 3 years. It can be extended to 6 years total. There's supposed to be an annual cap of 85,000 new H-1B visa holders per fiscal year. 65,000 is the regular cap, 20,000 additional for U.S. master's doctorate holders. However, it has a dual intent clause. In other words, the people that come over for H-1B do not always leave. It's supposed to be temporary. They're only supposed to come over for 3 years. It can be extended to six, but then they're supposed to go home. Now, there's another twist to this as well, which is if they lose their job, they get sent home. So it becomes a way to not only pay them significantly less than you would for an American, provide them with substantially, you know, less comforts or whatever, but it also is a way to pressure them to not complain or not, you know, or to do more work, because if they get fired, they get sent back. So it's really it's like a modern indentured servitude kind of operation that these corporations are running. But you can pursue a green card. You can pursue citizenship here during those 3 years that you are an H-1B visa holder. So they say, well, you know, these are temporary workers. Technically, yes. But while they're here, they can be working towards citizenship. And do you really think that if they don't leave, we're going to go find them and send them home? Yeah, maybe we'll get to them once we find the other 30 million people that got over our border in the last 4 years. We'll get to them eventually. And they can bring over their entire families before they get the green card, when it's still just the H-1B. Spouses and children get H-4 visas. Some H-4 spouses can apply for work authorization if the H-1B holder has approved I-140 or extended beyond 6 years. You can change employers immediately after a new H-1B petition is filed. Now, the way that this is gamed is that what you're supposed to do, the reason this was set up ostensibly, once again, like everything else in this country, these things start with certain contingencies, certain requirements, certain prerequisites, and they eventually go away. And for some reason, we keep the thing, but we leave all the restrictions, right? Asylum. The asylum program used to have very stringent requirements for what allowed you to cut the line and circumvent the lawful entry. Now it's whoever can download an app and press the I'm an asylum seeker button. Okay, the whole program has to go away. With H-1B visas, the idea was you're some company, you're trying to hire engineers, you've hired every engineer in town, you've advertised in all the nearby towns, you've advertised statewide, you still can't find anybody. All right, fine, go recruiting overseas. All right, every employee in the country has a job. Okay, we got to go to another country to get workers. Ostensibly, that's the way it's supposed to work. And the way this is supposed to be controlled is that you are required by law to advertise in America, try to fill the position with an American, and only after, you know, you go through the process of trying to find an American, if you can't find one, then you can apply for an H-1B visa. But the recruiting companies know this, and so they fulfill the requirement to the minimum technical level required, knowing full well that they'll never get any responses from qualified candidates. And I'll show you examples of that as we go through the stack. But just as an overview, understand that they're supposed to hire American first, and only when American labor is not available are they supposed to be allowed to go to India to get cheap labor. But they get around that by advertising like on the 50th page of a local paper in rural Oklahoma for an IT specialist located in Seattle. But technically then go, we did advertise it. We looked, can't find anybody, got to go to India now. So they're cheating. They're just cheating. And this just goes on and on and on. And there's like a pocket industry that just runs this. They're called body shops. And it's Indians who come here and then are paid to facilitate the intake process and get more Indians over. It's almost all Indians. See if there's anything else we need to know about this. I mean, this is just one of many types of visa, you know, types that are all just used to just take our jobs and rob us of our inheritance. And, you know, Trump has always been in favor of legal immigration. I'm not going to lie to you and say that this is a betrayal of a campaign promise. He has always been in favor of legal immigration. But I think a lot of Trump supporters understood that differently. I think I understood that differently, where it's like, yeah, illegal immigration is awful, needs to stop outright. Everybody who's illegal needs to be deported. But also, we don't want like millions of legal immigrants. We don't hate legal immigrants. We just don't want an infinite number of them. But there is a difference between legal and illegal. And if somebody wants to come to this country and contribute and truly become American and assimilate and benefit us, then, you know, there's no problem with that. But I don't think anybody was aware that the illegal immigrant program was just going to be kind of replaced but with a legal one. And in a lot of ways, it's worse. Most illegal immigrants, they'll get very, very low-paying jobs that most Americans don't want to do. They'll do them, but, you know, they're not exactly things that they, you know, go to school for. It's different with the H-1B visas, though, which, again, is why it feels like betrayal. Because people go into debt, they go to university, they spend 4 or 5 years, whatever it is, get an engineering degree, get out of university saddled with all this debt, and all the available positions are filled with Indians. Yeah, that's a betrayal. So let's go to clip number 4 here. This is what I said when I said I don't know who's... No, this is who, okay? Kevin Hassett, director of the National Economic Council, talks about how during the first Trump administration, he worked with Stephen Miller, of all people, to massively increase legal immigration into this country. Well, isn't that lovely? Let's watch.
In the corporate tax space, there would be like Laffer curve effects, but you could imagine other quarters of the tax code where you wouldn't. So, for example, if you expand the child credit, there might be a lot of good reasons to do that, but unless you think that there's going to be a big fertility response, you're not going to see a Laffer curve effect.
Now, you've argued in papers in previous years that for economic growth to occur in an economy like ours, we need to have immigration, getting workers to come in to take jobs. Now, we don't have as much immigration as we did before. Do you worry that we're not going to be able to fill all the jobs that might be available? And are you worried about the lack of our ability to get a lot of skilled workers to come in because of immigration policies?
You know, one of the things that people forget about President Trump's immigration policy in the first term is that he had us, and I worked very closely with Stephen Miller on this, come up with a immigration reform that could significantly increase legal immigration. And I can remember we went and presented it at the Washington Post editorial board, and I remember they were very favorably inclined towards that policy.
I think
that you have to sort of think about legal versus illegal, and that I think that we've already we're on the record for the previous administration as supporting, you know, sound immigration reforms that copy the kind of immigration policies they have in Canada and Australia. And so that's not happened yet. And so then the question is, how does that feed through to the labor market?
So Canada has been destroyed through legal immigration. Australia has been destroyed through legal immigration. In America, 58% of college grads are still job hunting, as hundreds of thousands of high-paying jobs are handed to people who paid for their diploma from a diploma mill in some disgraced fake university in India. Let me go through these stories. First, from Mark Mitchell. We had him on yesterday, Rasmussen Reports. He was, you know, collecting basically sentiments from the youth about how they feel about Trump. Well, this one's from Aster after his appearance on our show, and it's about Trump's statement about the H-1B visas. And the person says this: I'm sure you're going to get bombed with comments after Trump's H-1B visa comments. Speaking frankly, I hope Republicans lose so bad that Democrats impeach him again. I've gone through the humiliation ritual of looking for a technical job recently. It's horrible. I've seen entire offices become an Indian village overnight. No issue gives me more autism than the American talent issue. I don't want to hear a single drop of cope from any Trump glaze account. Any tether Trump had to reality was murdered by a furry. No more Miller will save us, cope. Just like Vivek on Christmas for me, there is no recovery from this. My parents had their relationship destroyed with my brothers for this man. How many other families were ripped apart over him? For what? Infinite Indians? Like, that is betrayal. Trump has betrayed his supporters. Not just done something they don't like, not just said something that they have a hard time coming to terms with. These people feel stabbed in the back. I feel stabbed in the back. and I haven't suffered nearly as much as some people. I mean, imagine going to bat for Trump, and it like ruins your family. You're like a parent that like doesn't talk to your children anymore. It's because like you understand what's going on. You believed in Trump's mission, and you just thought this is important enough. This is reality. This is the future of the country. This is humanity at stake here. Your family's destroyed over your support for Donald Trump, and Donald Trump turns around and sells you down the river. So, like, it doesn't even matter anymore what the Trump administration says. Today I was downloading videos, and you know, there's statements from the Trump administration. I'm like, I don't even care what they say. I really don't. I got statements from Harmeet Dillon about Antifa, Pam Bondi, about whatever. And it's like, I really don't care. I really don't care. Now, if you can show me a headline that says H-1B visa program terminated, you know, 2 million sent home, that will do some part in mitigating the betrayal that we feel. But certainly nothing you say is going to have any impact until you do something tangible, recognizable, powerful. They have betrayed us. And for what? For what? 1.5% of our population being descended from Indians? You want to know how many Indian people voted for Trump in 2024? 300,000. Great. Now, we could listen to Charlie Kirk. One of his last posts before being murdered was this. This is the social compact breaking down, and it's a chart showing estimated percent of 30-year-olds who are both married and homeowners from 1950 to 2025, and it is a catastrophic downturn. He says this: 1, mass deportations; 2, stop the H-1B scam; 3, dramatically reduce legal immigration; 4, end chain migration and the visa lottery; 5, build 10 million homes for Americans; 6, crush the college cartel. Now, at least, you know, 3 of these could be done immediately with absolutely no input from anybody. He could stop the H-1B scam, Trump, in an afternoon. He could order mass deportations and bring in the military and deploy them in a real way, not just sending 2 guys out into a neighborhood to try to, you know, drag away some dude in the middle of Chicago. How about you circle the neighborhood, start closing in, throwing everybody in vans, shipping them out that afternoon? Ending chain migration and the visa lottery. Just end it. You can just end it. You can just say no, and then it's over. In the exact same way that Joe Biden could have said no and stopped the border crossings. Trump did that. He could do that for all of these. But he won't, because he's working with guys like the guy we just showed you, who are working on behalf of their corporate masters, who are completely globalist corporate scum, to bring over infinite, you know, slave labor from India. Again, if we don't have talent in America that can do this, how is it that India, that the vast majority of them don't even have indoor plumbing? How are they going to do better? We've played the game before where you go on Google Street View and you try to find a single place in India that isn't covered in trash. It's an impossible task. It's an impossible task. Why do we need them? Why would we want them? What is the point? What is the point? Americans are dying out. American birth rate is below replacement. There are 1.4 billion Indian people on the same train in Mumbai. Ridiculous. H-1B visas are the main pathway to Indian tech talent. 71% of H-1B visa holders are Indian, with the next 12% being Chinese. Then it goes Philippines, Canada, South Korea, Mexico, Taiwan, Pakistan. Oh, is this where all the geniuses are living? We don't have personnel that can keep up with India or the Philippines. What would we do without, you know, infinite people from Taiwan and Mexico? And you have story after story after story. Microsoft H-1B visa applications questions amid mass layoffs. They fired 9,000 employees while applying for 6,000 high-skill work visas, or H-1Bs. Fire 9,000 Americans, hire 6,000 Indians, pocket the difference. Microsoft dumps thousands of American workers in favor of cheap foreign techies. And this is like every corporation, by the way. It's like a very routine thing. We covered something like a few days ago. Same thing. It was the same guy. He like went from Delta, where he did this, Indian dude, becomes CEO, offshores everything to India, goes gets a new job in a new company, offshores everything to India. Like, it's just a pattern that they do, where they're literally just taking over corporations with Indians deliberately with their ethnic supremacy. Like, it's this is happening. 58% of U.S. graduates cannot find jobs. Okay, let's get this number down to, I don't know, can at least half of our graduates find a job? What if half the people we pump out of universities become employed? Maybe then we'll be comfortable enough to offshore some of our jobs, or inshore, whatever they call it. U.S. job market has reached a new level in 2025, according to Fortune. More than half of new college graduates, 58%, are still looking for a job. That's more than double the 25% of millennials, Gen Xers, and baby boomers looking for work right out of college in previous decades. But don't worry, folks. You can always get a bunch of Indians. Globally sourced scab workers are what they are. Meanwhile, who even are these people, these highly qualified Indians that Trump is so eager to replace Americans with? Because we're standing on breadlines and can't be educated, apparently. 36,000 fake degrees sold, how one scandal shook India's education system. India's academic sector has been shocked by the news of the sale of fake degrees by one of its most renowned universities. Manav Bharti University, MBU, reportedly sold 36,000 fake degrees over 11 years for prices ranging from 100,000 to 300,000 rupees. That's between 1.3 to 4,000 US dollars. So all these highly skilled, you know, Indians that are just so much more capable than us stupid Americans with our indoor plumbing and our literacy and our ability to use trash cans. They all just paid $1,000 and were given a bachelor's degree, sent that to a body shop in America, who funneled them to a corporation run by an Indian. It's a giant scam.
I'm cutting this critical announcement on the morning of Tuesday, November 11th, 2025, Veterans Day. You have 48 hours flash sale to get one bottle of ultramethylene blue capsules or liquid tincture and get the second one free and get a free custom Patriot ball cap at thealexjonesstore.com. We've never done a sale this big. It's a flash sale. I was sitting here this morning about to cut the announcement about the free ball cap to celebrate Veterans Day, not just for our military veterans, but veterans of the info war. And I thought, wait a minute, let's extend the ultramethylene blue sale, even though it's close to selling out. Don't worry, more's coming in a few weeks. So take action now at thealexjonesstore.com and be the reason we're always going to be on the air. Because the globalists are close to shutting down InfoWars, the building, and the website, but not we the people of the InfoWar. We have the Alex Jones Network that Pigley owns. They're the owner of thealexjonesstore.com, and that's why it's so critical you go there and support the broadcast and get great products at the same time. Victory is all about being aware, standing up, and taking action. And you can't take action in a better way, fighting for you and your family's future and our collective liberties, than supporting the operation at thealexjonesstore.com. So you have 48 hours to buy one bottle of methylene blue, get one free, and the free ball cap right now at thealexjonesstore.com. Now again, ladies and gentlemen, we're winning some big battles here. We haven't won the war, and the globalists have been salivating over getting us off the air. They are so ridiculously foolish. We're not going to miss a beat. We're going to be on all the same radio stations, all the same systems. It's going to blow up in their face, bigger than ever. The only missing equation is you continuing to spread the word when we make this move and supporting us at our sponsor, thealexjonesstore.com, while getting products that enrich you and your family's lives. The only way you fail is not taking action. And don't forget what Thomas Jefferson said during the Revolutionary War. The only thing that evil men and tyrants need to flourish is that good men do nothing. You're the good men and women. Take action now. Support the tip of the spear, thealexjonesstore.com, and I salute you from the bottom of my heart, and thank you for keeping me and my crew in the fight.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.